Welcome to a brand new episode of Unlike a Lady, where
every other week you'll find me conversing with women from different phases of life, celebrating their life journeys as well as seeking inspiration from daily life situations and how they chose to defy the existing gender norms of the society to live life unlike a lady.
Top IIT? Check. Top IIM? Check. Well, what about after that? One of the very important pieces of advice that our today's guest received from her seniors back in college was that when you graduate from here, your biggest accomplishment should not be that you got into an IIT. With that wonderful thought, let me introduce today's guest for you, Chavi Gupta, who secured a perfect 100 percentile in her CAT result, who has worked with one of the top consulting firms like BCG. She's now a product manager and alongside has also been an academic mentor for the last 2 years. She strongly feels that women should consider themselves as top priority and not let society tell them otherwise. Let's dive into hear the women herself, Chavi Gupta. A very warm welcome to you, Chavi. We're so glad to have you on our podcast, Unlike a Lady, today. Thank you for giving us the time.
Thanks a lot for inviting me, Devishi. It's a pleasure to be here.
Same here. Really looking forward to the conversation. I have followed your, you know, profiles on social media. I've looked across your journey for a long time. And I'm really glad that today I am here and I'm sitting with you for this wonderful conversation. So without further ado, we can begin. We would love to know all about you. So if you could just tell our listeners about where you're from, where you grew up, any fond incident from your childhood, anything that you would like to share.
So natively, I'm from Jaipur, but throughout my schooling, and you'll be surprised, I've studied in 8 different schools.
Okay.
I studied in like 5 different cities. And hence, you know, like my dad was, you know, in highways and he continuously got transferred.
Okay.
But that is where how my childhood was. So what it helped me do was that I became very quick in adaption in a new place. So whenever I used to reach a new place, I had to quickly make friends, quickly do everything in the school, and then also try to, you know, learn as much as I can.
Yeah.
So I think that was a very important part of my childhood. And that has sort of, you know, contributed to what I am today.
Right. That's really interesting. I think, you know, getting that kind of an exposure really shapes your personality and it just plays a huge role. So I've heard the same from my dad because my grandfather was in the army. So even he has changed so many schools throughout his childhood. He's like, I used to get bored in one school after a few months or maybe a year, right? Because I was not used to that. So yeah, Chavi, talking about IIT Delhi, you know, being a female and doing engineering from that particular reputed school, it's the top IIT. And I feel even in today's time, engineering is one sphere where that, you know, gap in the admissions with the gender ratio that still exists. If I ask my friends who are still doing engineering, you tend to see that gap a lot, that there would be, you know, so many boys in the ratio. Even in school, I feel I was in a science section. If you look at the PCM sections, there used to be 5 girls in the entire class. And humanities used to have the opposite kind of a thing. So how has your experience been in IIT Delhi and what do you think, why do you think that, you know, this gender ratio, this gap still exists?
Well, okay. So let me think about it. In my school, I think that we had almost equal people in PCM, equal boys, equal girls.
Okay.
But when I compare it to my coaching,
yeah,
I think we had like 20% girls and 80% boys.
Right.
Okay. And that is like a one stark difference in society, right?
Yeah.
Like while they will let all of their, you know, daughters study in schools, a lot of them think twice before spending a lot in things like, you know, spending in coaching, spending in you know, expensive tutoring societies,
right,
and all of
right.
that. This is one difference which still exists. Then there's the other aspect of things, that in general, if someone has 24 hours, right, the society generally does not expect them to every day give some amount of time to, say, family or something, at least when they are kids.
Yeah.
for girls in general, even when they are kids, they're expected to give some amount of time. If there are some relatives there, if there's some small household work,
that's
if
true.
There's some help needed,
yeah.
There's always this expectation that if there are two people sitting, one girl and a boy, the girl will automatically get up and get that done.
Hmm.
And that all of this, you know, it just sounds very small
yeah.
on a daily basis, but all of this continuously adds up and it affects the girl in her career aspects. So when people say that, you know, oh, so many girls are not able to crack IIT.
Yeah.
It is not just that they are dumb per se. I don't think they are.
Obviously, yeah.
I think it is because of the, you know, the efforts that have been put to on them in particular, you know, particularly to their career.
Yeah.
And the extra time that they are expected to spend elsewhere.
Right.
While the boys can either chill or study at that time.
That's true.
And I won't say that it is 100% there. I'm very, very thankful that I was from a family where I did not face that. But I think that is the main reason why I got where I was.
Hmm.
So if every girl was able to get the same amount of support in terms of, you know, their family, their society, in terms of the financial support needed to go to these expensive institutes and all, then I think there's a very high chance that that particular ratio or proportion will increase a lot. And yeah, and I mean, you would have seen that if you were in the science section, when people do the IIT coaching, when I was in the final batch of my coaching institute, which was based on the ranking and all of that,
right.
It was a batch of around 60 and there were 3 girls.
Ooh.
Now it is not possible that you
yeah.
Like the 20% girls that were there, it's not possible that all of them were, you know, not smart enough to not get there or somewhere, or the boys are super smart.
Right.
Even if I consider that, I would still have the same ratio of people who were there in coaching, right?
Absolutely.
But it was no.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I think that's just a very interesting, and the way you explained the entire process of why you think that still exists, that's just really insightful. And I really wish that, you know, that strikes a chord if, you know, there still are people and if someone listens to this particular conversation today. So I think that's just a really interesting perspective. All right. So I think moving ahead from engineering, talking about, you know, entering IIM and pursuing MBA. Like I said, you know, it's the perfect academic record going from the top IIT to a top IIM. Doing MBA, I believe you did it post a work experience of around 1 to 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, how do you think yeah. that kind of becomes a better thing to do? Because people are still very confused whether they should go in directly as a fresher or if they should go post some experience. So, you know, this is the kind of dilemma I am also facing right now. I am in my final year of college. I did do MBA prep right now. But it's just, you know, it gets so confusing because there are people telling you you should go in right now because it'll be so difficult to prep for, you know, CAT while you have a job going on because you don't get the time. But, you know, like you said, there are people who, you know, value the work experience also so much. So, yeah, there's just a lot, you know, going on yeah. in a...
No, so I'll tell you one thing, Devishi. First of all, don't listen to people, okay? If you want to do MBA, do right. that preparation, give that exam properly. Once you have the choice, no? Like, for example, if you, later on you have a job and you have a college, that is when you should start looking at opinions outside, okay? Till that time, make your, you know, just open up more and more options for yourself and career. And that is of essence, because what people do is they think, okay, I'll do this and not yeah. this. And that is where, you know, they actually get stuck sometimes. So open as many options as you can. And then in the end, you can just decide for yourself what
absolutely.
I want to do. In general, in MBA, I would recommend that people have some experience. It just provides people a bit more perspective. Like, because if you go from one college to other college, you don't really have the external exposure of some sorts. And I think that is needed for an MBA because that is the best way you will be contributing to your class. And that is how you will be able to understand what experiences others had.
Right.
So I would say that in business, there are 2 key things. One is your core skills. One is your, you know, hard skills, which is like if you know finance, if you know XYZ and all of that, that is based on your
yeah.
role. The second bit is soft skills, which is an essence of your daily day-to-day work.
Right.
Now, this could be things like teamwork, things like how leadership is, things like how open, how flat the hierarchy is. And, you know, just the HR policies and other things of the company.
Yeah.
Now, The second bit is definitely something you will not understand if you just go from college to college. You might know the technical aspects of stuff, but you will not know the, you know, soft skills around it. And that is one critical thing that you just learn when you have worked in an organization for a while. So I generally recommend people doing that. But that said, in India, the placements that happen after MBA do not differentiate between people who directly come as a fresher or people who come as a 1 or 2 year experience. Not so much. There are only very limited placements which differentiate.
Yeah.
So that said, in case you feel your profile is great and in MBA you will get the company you want to, just go ahead. Otherwise, you'll just be spending, I won't say wasting 2 years, but still spending 2 years to get to the same place. And it, yeah, so you might ask
that directly. So such a nice advice. That's so true. So there's just this one question that, you know, keeps really coming up in my mind. That's, I think, a really important question to be asked. So when we're prepping for CAT, you know, cracking that exam, everyone talks about the struggle of getting into the top IIM. But I think an equally important aspect is surviving in that college for 2 years also, because when you are in IIM Ahmedabad per se, everyone else, you know, all your classmates have also, you know, cracked that exam and even they have achieved. So even they are at par with you, then competing with that kind of a lot. So what in your experience was tougher, you know, cracking CAT and getting into IIM Ahmedabad or surviving those 2 years there?
I think that cracking CAT was definitely difficult because I was doing it for the job.
Okay, yeah.
But that said, even surviving IIM was not easy. I think that both of them have their own set of challenges.
Right.
Cracking CAT is more like, you know, that you have one particular goal and you just have to figure out the time and the best possible way to achieve it.
Hmm.
Surviving IIM is actually a struggle of time management, prioritization, figuring out, you know, your choices, actually figuring out, you know, what you want to prioritize between studies, between extra activities, between chilling, between something else.
I'm sure.
So it is, IIM, I think, sort of, you know, it just creates your personality. It develops a lot of smaller skills that you need forever in your life.
Right.
So it doesn't happen in like one go because it is 2 full years.
Right.
But I think that both of them have their own specific challenges.
Yeah.
And yeah. For the latter, that was one reason that I was creating this playlist known as Navigating Through Your MBA Life.
Right.
So in there, I've talked about like academics, I talk about placements and all. And I think it is tricky because a lot of people do get into IIMs and they feel they are the toppers of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then they realize everyone is the topper over there.
Yeah.
And so it's not as easy as people expect it to be.
All right. That's really interesting. And I think just now, moving further ahead, your academic record and all of the top institutes that you've been a part of, you know, being that driven academically and having that kind of an ambition in your career life, is there still anything, you know, that ladylike responsibility that is still imposed on you and you just, you know, feel really bothered by it, that, you know, why is it still being imposed on me?
Yeah. Okay. So let me tell you a little bit about myself.
Yeah.
I have a very strong personality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I am someone who is not scared of people in general.
Yeah.
And I'm someone who just tells what the right thing is without being very afraid.
Yeah.
So particularly for me, there are not many things that people talk about because they know that Chavi has decided and it is tough to, you know, just make her do something just because society expects. And that is not something that I do.
I think that's a really great quality for women because they do tend to feel the pressure.
Oh yeah. And it is very tough, right? It's not easy. Because my parents never really imposed anything that is some expected from society on me.
Yeah.
That is why I became like this. Just a few examples over there. For example, I don't like cooking at all. So I don't do it. I can do it.
Hmm.
Like I know how to cook. If it's like really needed, I can do it, but I don't like it. So I don't do it on a regular basis.
Right.
My husband, you know, he actually likes cooking.
Yeah.
So sometimes when we are free, he would cook something really good. And this is something that people are so surprised to hear sometimes.
Yeah.
That, okay, in general, you have cooks, but oh, he cooks and you're not. Like,
even today, like you both would be managing the equal amount of work pressure and, you know, doing so many things.
Yeah.
But even then you would be expected more to handle that. Yeah.
Exactly. And that is what people just expect. And it just happened recently. There were like some you can say, some faraway relatives we were talking to.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, do you get up? Do you cook? I'm like, no, I don't like cooking.
Yeah.
And they were so surprised just hearing that sentence. I don't like cooking. Like,
yeah, I know.
It just seemed from their faces like, you know, like, is that even a choice?
I swear.
It is exactly like that.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty happy
that
both my, you know, my family and my husband's family are so good.
Yeah.
That they have been very accommodative in everything that I want to do.
Hmm.
And they know that there are other things that I'm doing. I have my own channel. I have my own,
absolutely.
You know, I write my blogs. I do other things. I do my work.
Yeah.
So they know that I'm not free.
Yeah.
And hence they are very, very acceptance, you know, just very, very accepting in this particular area.
Yeah.
But I'll also tell you one thing. A few years back, I heard from one, again, people who are close to me know how I am. So it's only people who are like a little far who actually say things.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So there was this one person who called us, called me and my husband, and they're like, you guys don't call us, you guys don't stay in touch, you know, Chavi, I think the onus is on you because you are the lady, so you should just ensure that you're speaking to all the relatives on a regular basis.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. So
I know.
That's a random expectation.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are things like that. I am pretty far away from these expectations, but I know there are women who have so many expectations and who have to deal with so many expectations from society.
Yeah.
Just think back. I mean, I would actually ask the listeners to just think back on any time when some relative come to your place. Do the girls get up and get water, or do the boys get up and get water?
Hmm.
It's a very small thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I mind getting up and getting water, but I don't want that to be a compulsion.
Exactly.
On me.
Yeah.
I don't also want it to be only my job to remember that that is something that I have to do.
Right.
And till the time we don't reach a place where both the girl and the boy feel equally responsible for anyone who's coming, for anything that is dirty in the house, for anything that is happening, I think we'll not reach the gender equality we want to reach.
Absolutely.
So it is both the act of doing plus the act of, you know, the cognizance of remembering that this is something that needs to be done.
Yeah.
So it is both of that. I think we are reaching, in a way, at least in few households, we are reaching the act of doing. Like if I tell my brother or my dad or my husband to do something, they will not say no. But it is also, I think we are a little far from reaching the act of cognizance where they don't know that this is a task that has to be done.
Yeah.
So once we reach there, that is when we will actually reach the actual equality.
Yeah, that is so well put, so interesting. So, you know, like you said, so many women, when I ask them this question, they, you know, they tend to talk about how they don't do it and things are changing. And then they, you know, express that gratitude also, that I am, you know, thankful. I'm really happy. I have that kind of a family. Support is very important. But like you said, you know, reaching up to the point of gender equality, I feel we'll reach that point when women don't have to thank anyone for that kind of, you know, condition.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, I am thankful that I have that kind of support. That should be something natural, equal for men and women. I don't think a guy, you know, growing up in a house thanks his family that he's not being told to do the housework.
Oh yeah. That's
so Chavi, you know, just moving ahead, like you just said that you will write blogs, you have your social media presence. So people who don't know, she's currently working in a startup, and alongside she's a mentor. So she's guiding all students through their, you know, career coaching and all sorts of aspects of life as a student. So, you know, what was that one instance, or, you know, was it something you always thought? What made you become a mentor and, you know, enter the space along with managing your full-time job?
Mm-hmm. I don't think that this was something I had always thought about.
Yeah.
This happened a little organically. Hmm. So what happened was, once I got my CAT result, I started getting tons and tons of messages. I was already active on Quora.
Yeah.
So I got like a lot of questions, messages on Quora. Then people started figuring out my profiles on other channels. And, you know, I got messages on Facebook, Instagram, and everywhere.
Yeah.
So I thought that initially I started answering questions. Then I created some templated answers so that I don't have to write the same thing again and again. Then I thought that there are so many similar questions that are happening, so I should just give it out to the world to hear.
Yeah.
Then I started doing answer sessions on YouTube.
Okay.
And at that time, that was like, you know, I would just put the question, I would talk about the answer and so on.
Hmm.
That was taking immensely lot of time, like an immense amount of time.
I'm sure.
From my side. So then I thought that, okay, the few questions that I feel are always there, I'll just create some short videos around them.
Mm-hmm,
and I started doing that.
Yeah.
So I think that was how organically my YouTube channel built. And then I answered a lot of questions. And then I continued to have these live Q&A sessions and so on.
Yeah.
So this is how it got built. Once that was there, I think it was pretty normal to get my thoughts. So I think once I was there in content creation, then my brain automatically started to, you know, distill a lot of content, just create, you know, structured buckets of content and so on. So I started writing on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Then I felt that I actually need to write a little more sometimes and do that. So I started writing blogs also. So yeah, I think that is where I am. It is not something that I have thought through in terms of, you know, how structured it has to be or where will it go. But it is something that has been very organic for me. Until the time people get some value from what I create, I think I'll try to find time and do it.
Yeah, that's really nice. I think that tends to happen, you know, as you proceed towards your academic experience and all of those things, you tend to reach out to your seniors. And then once you have reached that phase and your juniors reach out to you, you tend to get that feeling of, you know, giving back and giving them the same kind of value. That's what I also felt at times when at my own small level, I've, you know, given guidance to any junior.
Yeah.
So I just got that same kind of a vibe from you.
Yeah, actually, there was one more thing. I mean, being in like, you know, being around people I know, being in IIT and the companies that I worked with,
yeah.
I also felt there are a few things which are very, very obvious for a lot of people.
Hmm.
And when I started getting those questions that I talked about,
yeah.
A lot of questions were very basic, like things that people should just know talking to people and all of that. And that is when I realized there's like a big gap between the society that I know and another society that exists.
Right.
And because there's this big gap, I just wanted to be there so that people should not feel afraid of asking someone stupid questions,
yeah.
And not getting an answer or something like that. And that was my initial motive to actually bridge that gap and at least making basic information available to everyone.
Right.
So I think that was also a key which just pushed me and motivated me to create, you know, the content that I did.
Yeah. That's so wonderful, so interesting to know. So guys, just so to let you know, the YouTube channel of Chavi is actually standing at more than 17,000 subscribers today. She has a major personal brand even on Instagram, LinkedIn, and all of the major social media handles. We'll attach their links in the description and you can definitely go check them out. And I think it'll be really useful to anyone who's, you know, in their graduation right now, is planning to pursue MBA, and even in general. If you would just like to tell us a bit about the major, you know, buckets that you're handling with content.
Oh, sure. So I obviously do handle, you know, CAT preparation, etc. Do talk about what it is like in an MBA college, navigating through MBA life, what are the different aspects out there. Then I also talk about the different careers that go out of it. So for example, consulting, finance, product management, and a lot more. So that is that.
Hmm.
In general, I also talk a lot about interview preparation, case studies, guesstimates, and all of those things. I'm also going to very quickly write down about what is required in a PM job now that I'm a product manager.
Right.
So I have taken a few interviews around that. So we'll be doing that. Apart from that, I do talk a lot about productivity and efficiency. I feel that to achieve anything great or anything additional in life,
yeah,
than what you're doing, you need to be excellent in time management and prioritization.
Hmm.
And then be very productive and very efficient. That is just how you can do it.
Yeah.
So I am a big supporter of, you know, having the highest ever productivity or something like that and managing your time the best, as best as you can.
Yeah.
So I talk a lot about that specifically, I think, on LinkedIn and a few videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
That is something that relates to everyone. And whether you're a student, whether you're a professional, I think that is one thing that you can do.
Absolutely.
What else? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Apart from that, I'll just some my journey,
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. And I think in today's time, even building a personal brand in general is so important, right? Being there on all of these platforms and speaking your mind in general, I think that is something that a lot of people have now started realizing. So that's just really, yeah, great. And it's really, you know, admirable the way you're managing it on such a good scale, along with, you know, being a product manager and doing your being in a startup and, you know, with all of that hustle already. So, you know, I would just now like to proceed with, if you would like to tell us a little about how personally, you know, things changed for you post-marriage. I believe you got married at a decently young age. In today's, you know, generation, people tend to think that, you know, that is something that might hold them back from their career and things like that. So what is your perspective about that?
Interesting. Okay, so I think yes, we got married pretty early. And well, frankly, it was because I don't think that everyone could have waited 2 more years to get my MBA done.
Okay.
And at that time, and specifically, you know, around Rajasthan, people just get married by 25-ish.
Mm-hmm.
At least girls get married by 25. That is like a big enough age to get married. So, yeah, I mean, if I would have done my MBA, I would have been more than 26 years of age, and that was just not acceptable. So, but that said, I think it was also because me and my boyfriend had been dating for quite some time, and we knew, and both of our families knew, and then met each other. And once your families are involved, they just know, they just feel like, okay, let's just get them. And it was just that sort of thing. And for us also, it made sense because, we'd been doing long distance and so long, and I was like, okay, fine, I anyway have to marry you. And this is a good enough time around it, and I had like, it was a good time.
Okay,
so at that time we got married. So there was a part society, part us in it, but yes, that was how we did it.
Mm-hmm.
After marriage, I think there were definitely expectations in terms of initially having expectations.
Yeah.
But again, as I said, my husband's family is amazing in terms of just accepting what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I had just got my CAT result before my marriage.
Okay.
So they were like on cloud 9 on in terms of saying, okay, Savi is, you know, she's just spectacular in this particular domain, and we don't want to disturb her.
Yeah.
And don't want to, you know, even touch her career or something like that. So that was really good. And thankfully, that's what I am at. And that is how I just plan my day, even when I am at my, you know, at my husband's place.
Yeah.
And yeah, that has been pretty amazing. So yeah, so it's just the expectations of society. Like I said, people who are a little far away who think that, okay, Chavi should be cooking, Chavi should be networking with relatives, Chavi should be...
Who don't even know about your life, but yeah, they just tend to, you know, put
who
in
know?
Those.
So who... Yeah, and who know what I have accomplished, but they don't know the amount of effort and time it takes to reach where,
absolutely,
you know,
yeah,
where you need to be.
Yeah.
It's just a default expectation of society that these are the things a girl has to do, and anything she does apart from it has to be on top of it, right? And that is such a wrong expectation
to have.
Do you expect your guys to go ahead and career, like cleaning the house, cooking food, taking care of everyone, and then building their career?
I swear.
Yeah, so that is a pretty something, you know, all over the place.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is something I think that I have faced personally. I've been in a good place.
Yeah.
It would be because of obviously both the families, and a little because of my own personality.
Right.
As I said, I do not stop even if someone says something.
Yeah. You know, I kind of feel this many a times that abhi bhi, because, you know, we're still reaching that point of gender equality, women who, you know, are so focused that they have to build their career, and they tend to kind of have that kind of a personality of maybe being a little rebellious of that sort, because somewhere or the other they kind of know that they'll have to, you know, put that in to be able to accomplish what they have
They have to be like that, right? Otherwise, in general, so what society does is, even if, say today, even if there's no compulsion, one, they will say it so many times that people will start feeling guilty.
Exactly.
Like, if there's a woman, and this happens especially after motherhood, something I've not experienced right now, but I see like people who are so well educated, but once they are a mom, they just feel so guilty leaving their kid behind,
that
they have to compromise on their career in some way or the other.
Yeah.
And it was just the same, you know, before with husbands also. So society used to talk about the same way in, you know, same way about their husbands.
Yeah.
Oh, you will not take care of your husband. Oh, your husband doesn't have good food to eat, or, you know, hot food to eat, etc. So just felt like an obligation, and that there was so much guilt trip that was given to women.
Exactly.
So you have to be rebellious, and you have to be a little stonewalled in that way.
Yeah.
to just not feel those emotions. Otherwise, you will just spoil your career.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, it's definitely, you know, a journey, and you just realize more and more things along the way. Right. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, just moving a little towards the end. Now, I would really love to ask you, because our show is called Unlike a Lady, what does being unlike a lady mean to you?
Well, what it means to me is, you know, what I had told you earlier. I think that there needs to be a share of cognitive load between men and women.
Yeah.
And it is just that, suppose there are, and I was, this is from a comic or a post infographic that I had read. Suppose there's a towel lying down, and, you know, you ask a guy, okay, there's a towel lying down. They'll pick up the towel and keep it.
Yeah.
If you ask a girl, she'll pick up the towel. She'll go to the bathroom, keep it. She'll see, oh, soap is running out. She'll order that soap. She'll also see, okay, refrigerator, mustard is running out. Yeah. She'll order that mustard. Then she'll see, you know, there are some vegetables going rotten in the fridge. She'll take that out, decide what to cook or what needs to be cooked for dinner. Mm. Then she'll see, okay, something is broken. Then she'll get that done, get that fixed, and so on. There's this entire cognitive cycle that women go through.
Mm.
And they are just more observant because of this.
Yeah.
I don't know. I am yet to figure out why this happens. This is most likely because of childhood, because how people see their moms doing it.
Right.
And most likely, you know, it is because of that. But I'm yet to finalize, you know, get to one reason.
Yeah.
But I think there's just this one thing that women do all the time. And what I'm trying to, what I mean, I cannot change a lot of people in this. But of what course. I'm trying to do is ask the right questions to people. So whether it is my dad, whether it is my brother, whether it is my husband, whether it is my father-in-law, I ask them, okay, this happened. Your mom, you know, your mom or your wife did it. Did you, why did you not think about it?
Yeah.
So it is just trying to build that thinking.
Absolutely.
And it is me also observing all the time. I'm just learning through this process, but it is also trying to build that thought process in the men around me so that they can also, you know, then dissipate that energy to other men around them and actually make it feel that reaching that equal society. I think we are far from there. I'm in a good place where men actually take the initiative to do work.
Yeah.
But, you know, rather than just, I mean, thinking about it as another level. But once, you know, you start, you have to put on these thoughts somewhere. So that is one thing that I do. Specifically, apart from that, in terms of society, unlike a lady, I don't like to cook. I don't take the initiative, you know, sometimes to do. I mean, I plan my day on my basis.
Yeah.
My day or my life is not circling around some person or some family all the time.
Hmm.
Obviously, I care about them and I would change my ways if something needs to be done. But it does not circle on a daily basis.
Yeah,
I am my priority, and if men can say that, I think all ladies should be able
wonderful
to say
that. That's so good, the way you just, you know, summed it up. Really wonderful. I, you know, so agree with what you said, that inculcating that thought process in men. Even I tend to do that so many times, and in my household specifically, you know, this conversation has increased a lot since, of course, the time that I started this podcast. And I just remember the other day there was someone at our house, okay, and my dad, just even I hadn't heard him say that yet, so I know he hears all the episodes regularly, but he just said that, told the other person, the guests that were there, that, you know, I am learning so much of all the different kind of things and the perspectives of women that there are. And I was just, you know, I just felt so nice that he himself, he just said it that way, and I didn't realize that, you know, even he is kind of learning, and not learning, but, you know, just realizing things and knowing stuff from those kind of experiences.
Yeah.
So I just felt that, you know, they're on a very small scale, I am gradually seeing that kind of a change. And I just hope and wish that through your journey and the journey of so many women that, you know, I wish to have on this platform, we'll be able to slowly try to change that thought process, because this podcast is obviously, as you know, open to men to hear, open for men to hear as it is for women. Chavi, lastly, I would just like to ask you, based on your whole experience in life, professionally, personally, is there any message that, you know, you would like to give to your 18-year-old self?
Okay. I think, so I'll give two messages. One to 18-year-old girls in general.
Yeah.
Just feel free to break the stereotypes. Feel free to break the expectations of society. Feel free to talk back.
Yeah.
It is very, very important. I thankfully used to do that. But I know 90% of the women don't do that. And it is really important. Sometimes when you feel that, you know, something is not going right, just speak, just ask questions. Sometimes people don't even question things because they have seen it a certain way or because they just know that it is done a certain way. Try to question everything. Once I started doing that, and I was very particular about it during my marriage, after my wedding. And it was just that, you know, I have to question everything. Anything that happens, my husband behaves a certain way when he's at his place. He behaves a certain way when he's at my place.
Yeah.
Very, very small things I started to notice.
Mm.
And I mean, he is on the other side of the spectrum. He's so good already. Mm-hmm. But I can still find like so many things that need to be done.
Yeah.
So it's just about questioning.
Yeah.
Be curious about everything. Just question everything. Question everything that is going on around you. Why you are being treated differently and why someone else is being treated differently.
Mm.
That is very important.
Absolutely.
The thing that I would speak to my 18-year-old self is just talk and speak up in society.
Mm.
And this might be, you know, a little, you can say, not in the same vibe as what we have been talking about, but there are a lot of women who just face very, very small, you can say, nuisance
yeah.
from boys,
mm.
whether it is, you know, during traveling or something. It is essentially, you know, some sort of molestation, whether it is verbal, whether it is something else.
Right.
I think very less percentage of people actually speak up about it.
Mm.
I think that given a chance, I think that basically 100% of women would have faced it in some way or the other.
Right.
And only 10% of women would have ever spoken about it.
Agreed.
I would just say to myself, if I would have seen something, I would have felt something, I should have just said about it or spoken more about it, being, you know, not being afraid of the society at that time.
Yeah.
And just ensuring that the victim shaming that the society does is not something that is right. Whether it is as simple as someone, you know, looking at you or calling your names or something else.
Right.
I think it's okay to shout back on that person, to just
Absolutely.
Create a scene over there,
yeah.
to just do anything. And I think that is some just giving power to every single girl out there to be able to do that.
Yeah, because every story a girl hears just, you know, goes out to inspire so many more to stand back up as well. And it's so important. Absolutely. Chavi, thank you so much. That was absolutely wonderful. I had such a wonderful time conversing with you, getting to know so much, learning so much in just this short amount of time. I'm really thankful for your time. And I'm so, you know, it's such a pleasure to have you today.
It was awesome speaking with you, Rishi. I think I also learned a lot about myself and just knowing what thoughts I have, just structuring them. I think it was great.
I'm so glad you had a wonderful time. Thank you so much. In conversation with Chavi Gupta, IIT IIM, ex-BCG, and an online mentor. Don't forget to check out all her social handles in the description below. From her YouTube channel with over 17,000 subscribers to her LinkedIn profile to her Quora and her website as well as her Instagram, you will find loads of valuable content across all these platforms. If you like this episode, feel free to leave us feedback on our social media handles. You'll find us across Instagram, LinkedIn and Twitter as Unlike a Lady. Also, do you happen to know any lady who is defying gender norms through her journey? Well, I'm sure all of you know more than one. Please tell us about her and we would love to connect with her for one of our future episodes. Until then, just like Chavi mentioned, keep asking the right questions. Keep questioning the patriarchal practices that still exist and celebrate living unlike a lady.